Let us turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to the Heidelberg Catechism, page 30, Lord's Day 23, question and answers 59 through 61, page 30. We've just completed going through the Apostles' Creed, that summary of the gospel, and then we come to follow-up questions. We'll do this responsibly. I'll read the question, and all of us then together read the answer. Question 59, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? In Christ I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? It is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Now let us take our Bibles. Turn first in them to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. It's found on page 1203 in the Pew Bibles. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Romans 10. People of God, hear now the very words of God. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And let us turn over to 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It's found on page 1301, 1 John 2, verse 1. We read this. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, faith, saving faith, it is a wonderful thing. Faith is something every human being needs, along with hope, along with love. Those are important parts of the Christian experience. They're so valuable and recognized at some level as valuable by the world around us that it too tries to have faith, hope, and love. But the world seeks them apart from Christ. So we hear a lot around us about have faith in yourself. You need to believe. We hear about giving hope, that person needs hope. We hear all one needs is love. Faith, hope, love, these three remain as Scripture says, but only if they're biblical, faith, hope, and love. We're going to look at just one of those this evening. We're going to look at faith, at believing. Now, some months ago, we saw from Scripture about saving faith, what saving faith, true faith is. Today, we're going to consider the importance of that saving faith. Or as question 59 puts it, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? That is, to believe the gospel. Faith is wonderful. But it's what God does through faith that's so amazing. As I proclaim to you this evening, believe in Jesus and be saved. Believe in Jesus and be saved. First, we consider the object of our faith, Christ, that he accomplished salvation. Now, let's reflect where we're at here in the articles of the Christian faith, just after them, and where we're at in the catechism. We're in the second part, which summarizes the Bible's teaching about our deliverance, about salvation. And we've just completed the Apostles' Creed. Having done that, having confessed, here is the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Question 59 says, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? What good does it do you to believe the gospel? Maybe you've been asked that. What good is it, other ways of saying this, what good is it to be a Christian? Maybe you've wondered that. Trials, temptations, sickness, death, all that's going on around us, what good is it that I trust in Jesus? To believe the gospel. After all, we still suffer in this life. In fact, it seems Christians suffer in one sense more than others. Church history, tradition, if you look through it, it tells us that all but one of the apostles, they died for the faith. They were martyred. That would not be considered having one's best life now. So what good does it do you to believe all this? Well, the answer is contained in the gospel itself. What have we confessed? What is the gospel? We've confessed it's God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who delivers us apart from all our works, delivers us by the work of Christ. His death on Golgotha's cross, his suffering, the penalty for sin, his rising from the dead, his Spirit uniting us to Christ through faith. Think back on the Apostles' Creed. Think back to those articles of the Christian faith. That's what you find. We've been bringing them out throughout the past number of weeks, even months. The Catechism puts it so wonderfully. In Christ, I am right with God, an heir to life everlasting. See how it starts? In Christ, the focus there. Now, this isn't your best earthly life now. This isn't how to be happier 7 days a week. This is not possessing health and wealth in this life. It's so much better. Here is the way of salvation. Here is the good news of our deliverance from sin, from death, from hell, from meaninglessness. What a blessing. And it's unique among all the religions on this earth. All the religions of man are essentially the same. Christianity stands apart right here. Those religions place the focus on something yet to be done, something we must do. Islam. We heard recently, I think the young adults did, even the Kingdom Girls, even the adult Sunday school, of someone who deals with those who profess the faith of Islam. You obey there, and on the basis of what you've done, if things work out okay, Allah grants you life or not. at the last judgment. You're unsure till then. You don't know till then. Hinduism, what does it say? Well, you're to strive to leave behind your individuality, to be joined to some cosmic force. You're not there yet. It hasn't been done for you yet. Buddhism, what does it say? You're to aim to leave behind this life of struggle, detach. You do this, achieve some state of peace. What about modern-day Judaism? Disconnected from Old Testament Judaism. It's not really the same Judaism anymore. It says there's a Messiah yet to come, yes, but that Messiah is not divine, and he won't die as an atoning sacrifice in your place on the behalf of his people. Each person is still to be judged based on their works. Now, God's grace is in there, they'd say, things like that, but these major religions of the world, each one places whatever they call salvation, whatever they call your goal, on the efforts of the individual, on what's yet to come, what still has to be done, yet to be obtained by you, the person, me. No wonder unbelieving man thinks all religions are the same. They are, in essence, man's religions. Now, faith in those religions has some value, perhaps, as it spurs you on to become a better you, to achieve heaven or nirvana or whatever it's called. Christianity is completely different. What good does it do you, however, to believe this? Not because I'll try harder. In Christ, I'm right with God and heir to life everlasting. 1 John 2, verse 2, we read it. He is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means Jesus has removed God's wrath. He has propitiated God. He did that by suffering God's wrath as he hung on the cross. Propitiation. Jesus is that, John wrote. That's what God's word says. The focus is there on Christ. He is our advocate. He is the righteous. He is the propitiation. There's salvation, the root of it, which then works out, has an effect in resurrection and renewal. Like the first four books in the New Testament, children, do you know what we call these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Gospel accounts. And they find their climax in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Something that has already happened, almost 2,000 years in the past from us. How that has changed everything. It's changed human reality forever. The gospel is not about you and me, about what you do or are or can do. Man had his opportunity. Adam did in the garden. And he failed miserably. The gospel is about what God in Christ has done. The propitiation, the righteous one, the Son of God. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that. The gospel in and of itself is not about you and me. It's about Jesus. It's not about your actions or my actions, not one bit. It's entirely focused, completely focused, exclusively focused on what God in Christ has done. Believe in Jesus and be saved. Because Christ accomplished salvation. Why do we make such a point of that? Because again, every world religion around us makes salvation, again, what they consider to be salvation, something focused on the individual and what's done. That's the thinking around us. Not only in nations in which most of the people aren't Christians, but even here in our own land. Oh, there are Christians in our land, certainly. But often the thinking is that an individual saves himself. It's found in television, in movies, books, and songs. Politicians of both stripes proclaim it. Whether they say government solves your problem, that's your savior, or the individual solves the problem, it's the natural bent of sinful man. I do it, you do it, we do it. The Christian faith, though, says Christ did it. in Christ I am right with God. He is the propitiation. He is the righteous one. And there's nothing more that needs to be done for redemption. As the hymn put it, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And we need to hear that again and again, because there are even some who claim the name Christian who think that it's because of their faith God saves them. Now again, if it came right down to it, you listen to how they pray, they might say something different. But with their speech, what they say, as though God considers their faith to be the same as personal obedience to God's law. And they then believing that they fulfilled God's demands upon them, and on that basis are granted eternal life. Remonstrant Arminians hold to that. They think ordinarily God requires perfection from everyone. Now that's true. But that God is willing to change his requirements from personal perfection to personal faith. And that on the basis then of one's personal faith, God grants entrance into heaven. But that's not true. Under that scheme, what good is the death of Christ? What did it then accomplish? Well, nothing really. For the action is someone's believing Jesus. Not Christ's death that ultimately saves, that actually saves. The linchpin is in one's personal decision for Christ. Ultimately, then, someone's own faith. But ultimately, that's what all the religions of man are about. It's up to you. There's really no difference at its heart, then. That belief, even though it says is in Jesus, it's not ultimately from the Christian root. Because Christianity is summarized in the Apostles' Creed, which is something not only the Reformed hold to, but the Church of Christ has held to it long before the Reformation came about. Christ accomplished salvation. Salvation is in him. He is the propitiation. He is the righteous one. That's the consistent Christian message. It's what we confess in the Apostles' Creed. So then the question comes, well, what good does it do that you believe that? He did it all. He did it all. Well, why then is there any need for anyone to believe it? We move to that in our second point. Salvation comes through faith. Salvation comes through faith. So world religions, as well as belief systems that claim to be Christian but are far from the truth, they ultimately put salvation in man. But true Christianity holds that God saves through Christ. However, even within groups that claim to be Christian, there are disagreements, sharp disagreements, over how the salvation that is in Christ, how the salvation that Christ accomplished comes to us. And here was a chief point of disagreement, contention, during the time of the Reformation. And here is the cry of one of the main pillars of the Reformation, brought out so well in our catechism, that of sola fide, faith alone. Now we need to be clear here. The Reformation was when many churches split off from the Roman Catholic Church, or were pushed away. Now, the Roman Catholic Church confesses that someone is saved by grace through faith. That's not up for dispute. What's disputed is if we're considered to be fully right with God through faith and works, through faith formed by works, through faith formed by love, or through faith alone. The Roman Church holds the former, faith formed by love. Ultimately, faith and works. Reformation churches hold to faith alone. Now, let's be clear. When we're speaking of salvation, different things can be in view. On the one hand, we can speak of the entire package of salvation, from calling and regeneration all the way down to justification, glorification. On the other hand, we can speak of salvation very narrowly, that of being justified. Right now, we're going to focus in that narrow sense, that of being justified. What does it mean to be justified? We read of it, the word, in Romans 10 there. For with the heart one believes and is justified, With the mouth one confesses and is saved. We read that word justified. It's found throughout the Bible. So what does it mean to be justified? Well, it means that God considers someone to be righteous. God formally declares a person to be righteous, perfectly righteous. That's what it means for God to justify. Now, that relates to the catechism summary there in question answer 59 when he says, what good does it do you to believe all this? And then the answer, in Christ I am right with God, an heir to life everlasting. The entire package of salvation is related to faith. How? Because being right with God, you have to be right with God in order to be heir to life everlasting and all that goes with it. So how are we right with God? Question answer 60. Ask just that. Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That's taken right from Scripture there. We read it, Romans 10:10. With the heart one believes and is justified. It is through faith and faith alone that one is declared right with God. It is through faith alone one is justified by God. That's the doctrine of sola fide. Now, young people, that phrase, sola fide, faith alone, is very important to know then. It's summarized and given here in this Lord's Day. In essence, it's Christ fulfilled all righteousness, and God credits Christ's righteousness to someone through faith and through faith alone. Not through who we are, not through what we do. In this way, God justifies the ungodly. God declares a sinner to be fully righteous because it's Christ's righteousness that's credited. It's not yours, it's not mine, it's not part ours and part Christ. It's all Christ's. The believer is still a sinner, still sins. But Christ's righteousness, that perfect, what do we read in 1 John? He is the righteous. His righteousness is credited to the believer. And on that basis, God declares us righteous. How are you right with God? What did we read in Romans 10? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith alone. With the heart one believes and is justified. Now the Roman Church holds that salvation comes through faith. Faith formed by love. That is, for someone to be fully right with God, Christ's righteousness must not just be credited to them, it must enter into them. It must transform them. It must make them personally righteous in and of themselves. In Rome's view, justification is a process. You must be made fully righteous, become fully righteous, before God will finally declare you to be righteous. You must become fully right before you are fully right with God. In that scheme, then, God doesn't fully justify sinners. He fully, finally justifies saints. For Rome, someone is fully justified by God at the end of their Christian walk, rather than what we would say the Bible teaches at the very beginning. See the difference there. The Apostle Paul, what did he say in Romans 10? Everyone who believes will not be put to shame. With the heart, one believes and is justified. The Reformation, by God's grace, recovered that vital truth. God declares you righteous. God declares you to be right with him at the first moment of faith. You will not become more justified later in your life. What he declares at the first moment of faith is good forever, full forever. You are right with God. Why? Because of Christ. His righteousness credited, and that never increases. Not just at the end, right at the beginning. Now, why is that important? Well, because it's what the Bible teaches. And because if the heart of salvation, being right with God, if it comes through any other instrument or method than simple faith, then salvation is no longer all of God. But it then becomes salvation of God and man. And then the difference between Christianity and other religions amounts to very little. Either salvation is all of God from beginning to end, or man has some claim in it. And that's where Rome's error regarding faith and justification bears some of the fruit, bitter fruit. It makes your salvation depend on works. Works which you do for your neighbor, works which you do within the church, the pouring in of righteousness into you. Things like prayers and sacraments. So what will it be? Will you be right with God by your works and by your faith? Which our works are always imperfect. Our faith is always imperfect. Or will it be because of Christ alone, received through faith alone? What does God say? With the heart, one believes and is justified. That's what God's word says, what it teaches, sola fide. And God be praised for his wonderful act of grace, declaring us to be righteous through faith alone, apart from all your works, my works, anyone's works, the church's works, other than Christ's work. Believe in Jesus and be saved. Salvation comes through faith. So what good does it do you to believe all this gospel? In Christ, I am right with God. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus. That's the heart of the message we proclaim. It's what the church proclaims. Christ accomplished salvation. Salvation comes through faith. Therefore, believe in Jesus and be saved. In this way, all glory is taken away from us, from man. And that's okay. As the Catechism so wonderfully summarizes the Bible's teaching, we're not saved because of the value of our faith. God's not pleased with us because of the value of our faith. Only Christ's satisfaction, his righteousness, his holiness. He is the righteous one, the propitiation. Only he makes us right with God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Now we'll get into the role of good works. Catechism brings us there. Scripture brings us there. The Apostle Paul, even in Romans 10, brings out confession. Confess with the mouth. But the foundation must be laid. You are right with God only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Without that, there is no salvation. For our faith must not be pointed back to ourselves. It must not be pointed to the church, to Christ alone. Because as we move to in our third point, faith hangs on to Christ. Faith hangs on to Christ. So earlier we asked, if salvation is in Christ, why does anyone have to believe? If Christ accomplished it for us, and as we saw in the previous point, if it's not our works at all that appropriate Christ's righteousness to us, but if we're declared right with God because of Christ simply through faith, faith alone, well, why does faith have to be there at all? It's because of what God ordained. Christ does not save everyone, only his chosen ones. And what distinguishes his chosen ones from those whom he has passed over? Well, the very fact God chose is the foundation. But it's what he works in, is that faith. It's through faith that God unites us to Christ. And what did we read? With the heart, one believes and is justified. The mouth, one confesses and is saved. The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation is in Christ, not man. But somehow then we must be joined to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he uses faith as the instrument. Faith isn't something we do in order to get something from God, from Jesus. Faith is the means by which the Holy Spirit unites us to Christ. A theologian has used the example of the hand of a beggar that reaches out to lay hold of the gift in the hand of the benefactor. That outreached hand, That does not merit the gift. It certainly does not produce the gift. Nor is the hand the gift itself. It's simply the means by which the gift comes to the beggar. That bridges the gap between the gift giver and the gift receiver. Brothers and sisters, as Luther said, we are beggars. That is true. In need of great righteousness. In need of the righteous one. In need of eternal life. In need of Christ. And he gives his blessedness to us by the Spirit through faith. Faith holds on to Christ. We can't see Jesus, can we? Children, I can't see him. No matter what pictures people might produce out there claiming to be Jesus, we don't know what he looked like. We can't see him. We can't touch him. We can't sense the righteousness that is his, that becomes ours through faith. How do we know we are in Christ? Well, that knowledge, that assurance is part of what faith is. Faith clings to Christ. We confessed in question answer 59, what good does it do you to believe all this? In Christ I am right with God, an heir to life everlasting. Those blessings don't come to us by ourselves, but only in Christ, as a member of Christ, belonging, united to Christ. Back again to Romans and 1 Corinthians, when we thought about the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, believers are members of Christ's body, Christ being the head. There is a union there with Christ. We're not separate. We're not disconnected. Faith hangs on to Christ. Can we explain specifically how that works? No, we sang beforehand, I know not how God's wondrous grace to me hath parted, made known. We don't know how he does that. We don't know how he works that. But Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith hangs on to Christ. We can use illustrations like a hand to a beggar or other illustrations that help us understand holding on to Christ. But again, why? Because you and I, there's no hope in us. Look at the world. What hope is there? There's no hope in man. No hope in government. No hope in me and you. We've grievously sinned against all God's commandments. What does the catechism say? And we've never having kept any of them. And we're still inclined toward all evil. There's no hope with us. Even the most mature children, the oldest saint here that you see, there's no hope in him or her themselves. Most we deserve is condemnation, wrath. But God grants and credits to us the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if we never sinned or been a sinner. As if we had fulfilled all righteousness. As Christ was obedient for us. And all we need to do is accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Faith hangs on to Christ. Because salvation comes through faith. Because Christ accomplished salvation. That message goes out, believe in Jesus and be saved. So understand the importance of faith and only faith as the instrument through which we're right with God. Then we'll grasp more the mission of the church. We'll come to that. But this is the simple message of the Reformation churches. Which Reformation was needed because the Christian church had become corrupted and contrary in its beliefs, in its proclamation. And this Christian church is necessary because the religions of man look for salvation in themselves instead of God. And the church is to always point to Christ. May we always do so. May we always entrust ourselves to Jesus. And may we always praise and thank our God who has shown such mercy, such grace, the poor sinner such that we are. Praise God for his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving your Son. He's the righteous one. He's the propitiation for our sins. By your grace, we lay hold of him. We trust him. and we have no other Savior, we have no other righteousness. Thank you that at the very beginning of our Christian life, our Christian walk, you declare us fully righteous. Thank you that it's not up to us. And so you deal with us as an heir of life everlasting. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to wonder or worry. Just rest in your love for us in Christ and live out of that. Live a life of gratitude, having you as our Father, having Christ as our advocate. Thank you, Lord. What wonderful news you've given us to share. So give us opportunity to talk to others, our neighbors, co-workers, family members, even one another in our families who confess you already. And in all the worries and the strife, what good is it? As our children ask us, what good is it, Dad? What good is it, Mom? In Christ, we're right with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.